Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. And today we're going to talk about one of our favorite topics of all time, because it's one of our favorite things to do in the RV, and that's to go beach camping. And we know a lot of you live in places where, you know, there might not be a beach camping option, but your RV can get you to some amazing beach camping destinations on the East Coast and on the West Coast. But today we're
On the Great Lakes.
Or on the Great Lakes. And when I was an 18-year-old
at the Gulf of Mexico
punk jerk surfer guy, I would have said, oh, that's not a beach. But now that I've been to the Great Lakes, I would definitely say it counts as a beach and beach camping.
Traveling makes you a little less punky.
Yeah, it does. More empathetic. We're not going to talk about locations for beach camping today, but we're going to talk about strategies for beach camping today, about how to deal with sand, how to deal with water, how to deal with sun, and how to deal with wind, because it's just a very different environment.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people, if you don't live near the water, you don't have a lot of experience with beach camping, right? So you might be more used to mountains and lakes and everything, and then you plan that great beach camping trip because you've seen the pictures, people rave about it, and you get really overwhelmed by the elements. You are just more exposed to the elements when you're beach camping, and so we like to give people tips to kind of get prepared, especially if it's one of your first times going, because I believe that more than any other kind of camping, beach camping really is about packing and being prepared. So we actually did a Facebook Live on this for Go RVing, and that's why we figured we'd revisit the topic on our podcast. I'm going to embed the Facebook Live into this blog post over on rvfta.com. So you can go over, and don't worry if you miss something, you can see any of our lists, and you can also see links to any of the products that we're going to mention that are some of our favorite gear items for beach camping.
All right, so before we dive into all of our tips, and we're going to start with sand, we need to thank our sponsors of this episode, Go RVing and Go Power.
A big thanks to Go RVing. To find your way, visit GoRVing.com. And also a big thanks to Go Power. Powering off-grid adventure since 1996, visit GP Electric to size a power system for your next adventure.
And boy, oh boy, is solar a great option for beach camping at some of the state and national park campgrounds that are right on the ocean that have no hookups.
Absolutely.
So let's talk sand. I think that people that go beach camping for the first time are kind of shocked at how sand gets everywhere, and you actually need some like sand management strategies. And since we grew up at the Jersey Shore, you know, you've thought a lot about this kind of thing, particularly with little kids.
We've had posts in our Facebook group from people that are like, oh my gosh, will I ever get the sand out of my camper after this beach, my first beach camping trip? People are like kind of shocked. So yeah, your strategy going in is to make sure as little sand as possible enters the RV. And if you've got little kids, you're going to have to train them a bit on this, but you got to help them also manage it, right? So first off, when you are beach camping, there should be zero shoes in the camper. Do not walk into the camper with those shoes on. But also one of the really standard tricks is to have a little Tupperware bucket of water, right? It takes no time at all to dip those feet in water, and then you walk up the RV steps. Maybe have an entry mat or an entry towel right there that kind of takes that little bit of wet off of the feet at the top of the stairs, and you're going to be amazed at how little sand you get.
And if you have those little carpets for the stairs, you're going to want to like vacuum them off, right? Because if you get all the sand off your feet and then you step on a sandy step, you're going to get dirty again. So you got to manage that.
Now, one of my next tips involves one of my most popular recommendations that I've ever made. And this was sort of a sleeper hit, right? Nobody saw this one coming.
This is a necessity for beach camping. This might be the single best tip in the entire podcast.
So you have to separate your beach and your bathtub. towels. That's really important. So make sure your beach towels, you know, are just your typical, like everybody has those printed flowery or, you know, superhero, whatever your beach towels are. We have such an absurd collection. But then my bath towels are specifically the JCPenney's quick dry towels that I have actually recommended on a gear guide, and I have received more comments and emails that these are the best towels ever over the last 2 years.
And a few people on our Facebook group, RV Atlas, the group, have mentioned that they always seem to be on sale.
They are. And I just got another a coupon in the mail just the other day with another coupon code for them.
Now, I love that tip, but you have sort of a tip that's similar, and that's to have separate beach chairs and camping chairs and to also keep those separated.
I think you just have to embrace bringing all the stuff on a beach camping trip. We bring more for a beach camping trip than we do normally. And it's really important not to be tracking your beach camp, your actual camp chairs down to the beach. You're going to get, when you're folding and unfolding them, you're going to get sand in all the nooks and crannies, and you're not going to be able to get it out maybe later. Or you're going to get sand then on your clothes later on when you're sitting. I highly recommend getting beach chairs, and I highly recommend splurging on the backpack ones, even for the little kids. And I'll link to a little kid backpack chairs that I really liked. We had them for years and years. One is still kicking around, and I think it's like 8 years old.
To illustrate the point, like say you take a shower at night and you're just kind of unwinding around the RV, and you go sit out around the campfire and you sit in a chair that had been on the beach that day, you're going to get sand all over you.
And then
again,
guess where that sand's going to go? Into your bedroom, right? Yeah. When you get off the chair, you go into your RV.
The ultimate goal is not to get in bed at night and have sand
and
in your bed.
Feel any
sand. The worst feeling ever.
It is. That's the worst. Right,
one more tip for dealing with sand is use your outdoor shower if your RV has one. And to be honest with you, I think the only time we use our outdoor RV shower is on a beach camping trip.
Yeah, I can't think of any other time we use it, but when we're beach camping, it comes out with a vengeance.
And if you don't have an outdoor shower, get a splitter for the hose, for the water hookup at the campground, and then you hook up that splitter, run one hose into the RV to bring fresh water into the RV, and then bring a second hose to use to actually spray everything off and spray your feet off.
I forgot that's what we used to do when we had our pop-up,
when we had the
remember?
Pop-up. I keep a splitter in the RV all the time if I ever want that option to be able to rinse off kayaks, rinse off feet. It's almost like you can take a little outdoor shower out there.
All right, so let's move on to talking about all the water everywhere, all right? We are going to talk about ways for, you know, managing all of the fun you want to have in the water and having all the gear that you need to bring. But first, we just want to pause and we want to thank our sponsor, Go Power. Now, as Jeremy mentioned, I particularly think that solar power is great if you want to have beach camping adventures, because here's the thing, it's not always true, but most of the time your spots that are right on the beach are not going to have full hookups. They're not allowed in a lot of places in this country to run like sewer and electric right up along the edge of the water.
And if it's a state or national park, forget about it.
Yeah, forget it. So we've used solar power more at beach camping locations like Assateague State Park, one of our favorite beach camping locations, right? Because we can get one of those dry camping spots, and with our solar panels from Go Power, we can basically run our coffee maker.
We can run everything but
every
the AC.
Single thing.
And we often choose not to go dry camping in super, super hot weather where we would need the AC. So we went to Assateague State Park in October. It was cool out, and we had a completely functioning RV.
Yeah, everything we could use. Now, if you are kind of thinking about installing your own solar power system and you're not sure where to start, I have a great recommendation for you. If you go to gpelectric.com/ebook, you can download the RV Solar Reference Guide. And I have to say, I really think that this reference guide is perfect for beginners. It walks you through all the parts of a solar power system and explains it in real language that the average
person...
It's not
jargon.
No,
solar,
you can understand it.
Solar can feel clubby, and it can feel like it's just insider speak.
The Go Power folks have taught me so much, and I don't have any kind of electric education, and they've taught me so much. They know how to educate about solar. So go over there and download your free ebook.
Let's talk about dealing with water. I mean, if you're camping on the Great Lakes or you're camping on an ocean, you have to deal with the water elements as well. So you recommend that everybody brings at least 2 bathing suits.
Yeah, you definitely want to bring more than one bathing suit. First of all, kids lose bathing suits. It's impossible to understand how this happens, but it happens. But anyway, that's not the real point. Nobody likes to put on a wet bathing suit. And what you might not realize if you haven't been beach camping is that you actually change in and out of bathing suits quite a bit sometimes. So maybe the kids get sand in their suit and they want to take it off, but then you're going back to the beach later on, or you're going to the pool. A lot of beach camping resorts are going to have a beach and a pool. So you want to have that dry, cleaner suit while the other one is being rinsed and hung.
If you're like me and you occasionally just bring one bathing suit on a beach camping trip, I'll give you an old tip from my surfing days. And you have to not like be too precious about things. If you throw your bathing suit down like on the road on the blacktop, it'll dry really, really quickly.
Yes. Now, you also want to have good quality rash guards, especially if your kids are at all sensitive to the sun. Rash guards are going to provide a huge layer of sun protection, but they're also going to provide a layer of sand, you know, protection for kids in the water if they're not used to you know, riding a wave and kind of crashing along the shore and that, or, you know, it really does help kids last longer at the beach to have those rash guards.
I mean, if they're on bodyboards or surfboards too, they can really get bad rashes. So these are absolutely necessary.
Now, make sure you have something to hang all your stuff to dry. The worst is to just be like hanging up your towels and your bathing suits over random parts of your awning or whatever. You want to have either a clothesline and a strategy for hanging it, or you want to look into some of the options out there. There's some great RV options where you can put ones off the back of your bumper.
Stromberg Carlson makes a couple great products there.
I will link to our personal favorite that we used for years until we finally had to ditch it. I think we used it for 8 years, 7 years.
7 years.
And I really, really like it. I would like to get another one. But I'll link to a couple options.
You can also use the RV ladder. To some degree, it works.
But see, I hate that because there's things that lay over each other and they don't dry. Things dry so quickly when they're not layered over each other. If they're layered over each other, they don't dry.
Now, if you're doing a beach camping RV trip with really little kids, first of all, God bless you. Been there, done that. Stephanie recommends bringing an inflatable baby pool.
Yep. This is a tried and true Jersey Shore strategy for dealing with littles at the beach. So the ocean, the lakes even, sometimes can be pretty rough for little ones and they're toppling over. But it can also be hot, or they want to be in the water playing with the water with all the other kids. So bringing an inflatable pool, setting it up, have the older kids, you know, use little buckets to fill it up for you. Let them run back and forth. You don't have to do it yourself.
The older kids will want to play in the inflatable baby pool.
And all of your older kids will be in the inflatable baby pool also. It's always a hit at the beach. It's counterintuitive,
but it works.
And it
takes up hardly any space in the RV.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about dealing with the sun, because the sun can really beat you up. It can be kind of actually really bad for you. So you need to be prepared for that as well. But before we dive into that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing.
RVing definitely lets us bring all the things, right? When we go on our RVing trips. And I think that nowhere is that more apparent than when we go beach camping. Because like I'm sitting here saying, you need two sets of towels and you need all your bathing suits and you need camp chairs and beach chairs. And we bring our paddle boards and our kayaks. We bring so much stuff when we go beach camping. And the great thing is that we have an RV that can fit it. I mean, when you fly...
With room to spare in our toy hauler.
When you fly and rent a house in a beach location, you're just at the mercy of whatever they provide at that rental house. You can't bring
your inflatable baby pool.
No, you can't do all of that. But when you RV, you can. So, of course, that's one of our most favorite things about RVing. Now, to learn how we make the most of our RV travels, please visit the Scenic Route blog at GoRVing.com, where we have, you know, talked about so many of our great, amazing RV trips.
And
there are
so many other terrific bloggers out there, too. We're not the only terrific RV bloggers out there. GoRVing has a great team that covers the whole country, that covers all different types of RVs and all different types of camping.
Right,
so
find
check
your
them out.
Way.
GoRVing.com. All right, let's talk about the sun. So Stephanie, obviously you need to bring sunscreen, but where should you buy it?
Yeah, so this is what you don't want to do. Show up at a beach location and buy sunscreen, okay? You're looking at twice the price, if not more. So before you go on a beach vacation, it's really important to stock up at your local big box store.
And get your bug spray and all that stuff.
Get it online, get all of that stuff and have extras, because it goes fast when you're spending the day all day in the sun. Now, a thing about first-time beach campers campers is oftentimes by like day two, they're like burnt out on sun because you don't know how to take breaks, right?
Well, it can make you feel physically sick.
Yeah, you didn't have enough sunscreen on. You spent too much time. You weren't hydrating. So just know that in advance is that being out in the sun all day long is not sustainable. So if you do that for the first day or 2 days of your vacation, you might be like sunburned and dehydrated and sick for the rest of the vacation.
Counterintuitive suggestion, and some of you might scream and say, I never let my kids watch movies. Well, that's fine. What we did on our last trip, the Women's World Cup tournament was going. So in the mornings, we went to the beach when it was a little bit cooler and the sun was a little bit less strong. Then we went back to the RV and had lunch, and we watched one of the Women's World Cup games on TV, or you could do a movie or give the kids a reading break, whatever it is your family wants to do. And you kind of take the afternoon off, then we go back to the beach in the evening. Like, we'll go back up to the beach at 4:30 and maybe even bring dinner up there with us and eat up there and swim again when it's cool again. So it might be smart to plan on avoiding those strongest hours in the kind of mid-afternoon when the sun is most intense.
And we were there with friends beach camping recently, and all the kids just loved hanging out in one of the RVs in the afternoon for a couple hours and taking some downtime. And it just worked great for our flow and for keeping everybody like kind of hydrated. Everybody, you know, take a drink, sit down,
sit under the awning and read a book.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really great tip. Now, I would also make sure to have some sort of pop-up shelter, right? So your awning on your RV is really important, but also most people who beach camp like to have some sort of clam shelter because beach camping places also tend to have a few more mosquitoes maybe than other locations, right? Water brings out the mosquitoes. So to have a place like that shelter, like the clam is one of the most popular options out there. Our option, which was from Cabela's, I think is not available anymore. So I'll link to one that a lot of other people really like and recommend.
There are times of the day where your awning doesn't really provide much shade.
Right,
depending
exactly.
Depending on where the sun is.
Yeah. So you want to have that and you want to have it properly, you know, anchored. And then you also want to have your beach umbrella, right? Or two. We are all seasoned beach people. We know how to hang out at the beach. We went on vacation on our last beach camping trip, and we had a line of beach umbrellas just so that everybody could come up, plop under it, take a break, and also so the dogs could sit under the beach umbrella too. Maggie loves coming down to the beach with us, but she needs to be out of the direct
sun. It's a must, and you need one of those turny corkscrew kind of things.
They're called beach umbrella anchors.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you bailed me out on that.
Screwy
beach
thingy.
Umbrella anchors. Okay, and the man or woman that invented these things was a true man or woman of genius. You turn them into the ground like a corkscrew, and they dig into the ground, and then you put your umbrella right in there, and it keeps it kind of safe, and it keeps it from blowing away if the wind comes up.
Yeah, and I will link to that. I know some of you are like, what is, you know, what are they talking about? I will link to one of those.
It's a generic product you can buy anywhere from a million different companies.
Yeah, and it's so inexpensive.
Like $5.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Now, here's where we're going to save you some money, folks, okay? There's a lot of wind at the beach, okay? There's more wind than you might be used to if you're not used to beach camping.
And strong gusts. We've camped at the Cape Hatteras KOA for years, and I call Cape Hatteras the place where awnings go to die. We have seen 6 or 7 awnings get practically ripped off of the RVs. There's a reason the Wright brothers went out there to learn how to fly or to fly for the first time. And it's not just Cape Hatteras. I mean, that's an extreme example. But anywhere where you're beach camping, strong winds can come up off the ocean. And if you're somewhere where there's like the sound on one side or the bay on one side and the ocean right on the other, and you're just on like a narrow strip of sandbar, the wind can rip across that kind of environment.
So you want to think about setting up your campsite maybe a little bit differently than you normally do. Like if you're one of those people that likes to set up your awning lights and everything, you know, and put all your decorations around, you might be really setting yourself up for trouble, because we always recommend that you don't leave an awning out even when you go to the pool or the beach. These squalls can whip up out of nowhere. A gust of wind can take an awning out. We saw it happen at Chesapeake Bay KOA just a couple weeks ago. A storm was pulling in and somebody's Easy Up went flying like 5 campsites down within a split second.
That can damage. That could hurt somebody.
Yeah.
The simple rule here to reiterate is only put the awning out if you're there.
If you're there, right. And you can
and
immediately
bring it back
take
in
it
when you leave.
Back in. So try not to decorate things that you're going to have to undecorate when the wind whips up too. Like, so for example, some people don't even use tablecloths when they're beach camping, where they would normally put a tablecloth out on the picnic table, or just make sure you have the clips and you have a lot of them to put your clips on. Anything that is not staked down can be easily carried away.
I love the word undecorate. By the way,
undecorate, did I say that on
the loud? It should be like the name of a punk band.
You might want to like take it down a notch for beach camping if you don't want to be, you know, going out of your mind by the end of it. Now, I have a new favorite piece of gear that
we
use.
I don't know.
What was our new beach camping piece of gear this
year? Oh, the cart that we brought everything up to. We got that Bass Pro Shops cart that we put everything in. Yeah, you bring so much stuff from the RV down to the beach. And our site was really close to the water. But still, carting everything down and bringing everything back is challenging.
If you have kids,
so that cart was super, super
it's
useful.
It's called the Bass Pro Shops Basic Fold Flat Wagon. All right?
And it folds really fast.
It folds fast and it folds flat. It's true. And it's super lightweight. So this was very easy for us to add to our RV, you know, packing situation.
Stored easily in the back of the truck.
In the back of the truck. And I used it every single day while we were beach camping this year. This is my new clutch piece of equipment. I love it. So in addition to the backpack chairs, the quick dry bath towels, and the beach umbrella anchor, those are my top pieces of gear. Everything else that we've mentioned, like umbrellas and everything, I'll link to the brands that I like, you know, if there is a particular one that I feel like have held up over time, over at rvfta.com.
We also wanted to remind everybody that this is a paired episode, and on tomorrow's episode of the RV Atlas, we're going to review the campground that we've been talking about this whole episode. We had a lovely week-long summer vacation at the Chesapeake Bay KOA in Cape Charles, Virginia. I would really kind of like to go back there right now. It was a magical trip, and we're going to review that campground on tomorrow's show, so you want to make sure you don't miss that.
All right, everybody, we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.